أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي كان موجودا قبل حدوث الأشياء ويبقى بعد فناء الأشياء تفرد بالأولية والقدم وسما كل شيء معداه بالفناء والعدم كما قال عز شأنه كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه وكل نفس ذائقة الموت وقال كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام سبحان من لا يخفى عليه اختلاف النيات ولا يعزب عنه معاصي العباد في الخلوات نشهد أن لا إله إلا هو الملك الذي لا ينازع في ملكه ولا يضاد في حكمه يعذب من يشاء بما يشاء كيف يشاء ويرحم من يشاء بما يشاء كيف يشاء ونشهد أن محمدا سيد المرسلين صلى على محمد وخير المبشرين والمنذرين صلى الله عليه وآله الهداة المهديين من ركب سفينتهم نجا واهتدى ومن تخلف عنها ضل فغرق وهوى أوصيكم عباد الله بالاعتصام بالتقوى فإنه حبل متين وعروة وثقى أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. Brothers and sisters, I remind you all and myself to observe piety and taqwa. And we seek the help of Allah and guidance to abide by the code of piety in our lives. Piety is an instruction that is ongoing all our lives, and every person, every day, and every moment of his life needs to be reminded either by the inner voice of conscience or by the admonition of religion or those who are pious, to observe what is required, observe what is needed and what is the truth, and to abstain from that which is wrong and that which is unjust and that which the human nature does not accept as right. All the teachings of divine prophets and books and scriptures were directed at the human mind to awaken, to remind, to encourage the human beings to always use their intellect, to always trust the conscience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. They should not doubt their ability to know the right and wrong. And they should always feel that the gap of learning through the dictates of religion, through what Quran says and through the beautiful sayings of the Holy Prophet and his progeny, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Today I will briefly speak about Surah Al-Waqi'ah. And of course, discussions and tafsir of a surah requires more time than what is available to us now. Surah Al-Waqi'ah has very important attributes, virtues and fada'il and khawas of this surah. And it is said in the hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Allahumma salli, that the Holy Prophet said, "Man qara'a hadhihi surah lam yuktab min al-ghafilin." A person who recites this surah is not written amongst those who are neglectful. وَإِنْ كُتِبَتْ وَجُعِلَتْ فِي الْمَنْزِلْ نَمَى مِنَ الْخَيْرِ فِيهِ. And if it is written and placed in a house, then khair and goodness increases in it. Khair is a very vast term. It relates to visible and worldly things that are of use and benefit to a human being. And it also refers to things like knowledge and spiritual things of this life and that of the next life. Khair involves all of that. That whoever writes this surah on a paper, for example, and keeps it in the house, then this house will increase in goodness. وَمَنْ أَدْمَنَ عَلَىٰ قَرَأَتِهَا زَالَ عَنْهُ الْفَقْرِ. And a person who reads this surah, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, continuously, right, then poverty will leave him. وَفِيهَا قَبُولٌ وَزِيَادَةٌ. And the deeds will be accepted, and there will be more, there will be increase in tawfiqat, for instance. وَحِفْظ. And a person will be more mindful. وَتَوْفِيق. The ability that Allah provides us to do the right things. وَسَّعَةٌ فِي الْمَالِ. And abundance in wealth. One of the things that people constantly worry about, constantly complain, is stress. And because of they are complaining of stress all the time, they become anxious. And because they are anxious and they don't get what they want, they become depressed. So this is probably one way of explaining this cycle. But people, because of their constant worry and thinking about how I pay my bills, how I pay off my loans, or what is to come in the future, and all of these thoughts and fears about future, which shaitan also does a good job of perpetuating and increasing and making a person worry more and more. Faith is supposed to protect a person from going that route. Faith in someone who knows, someone who provides, someone who has control of all things. And by faith we find guidance of, for example, the Quran telling us, hadith telling us that reading this surah, for instance, alleviates such worries and anxiety. And a person, his sustenance is guaranteed in a way. They not have to worry so much about it. A person should not do these things for greed, but to live a life of afiyat is something we ask for. That our deen also recommends asking for afiyat. Afiyat means safety, wellness, and different, it encompasses a lot of these meanings. For example, religion does not talk about the opposite. Religion does not, for example, want a person to go for trouble. It wants afiyat. Afiyat means security, safety, wellness for oneself, for others. And a person's attitude really helps in this. If a person's attitude is greed, right, then of course this greed will drive him towards anxiety and other things. But a person has contentment because of faith, because of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there'll be more peace and tranquility, right? It results from iman and faith in Allah, and iman relates to how much you know, how much I know. Knowledge really is the core of iman, because a person can have iman in anything. But the right iman is that where you know what you are believing in. So if a person believes in something that he knows, then that iman is strong. And it's in tune, it's in sync with reality. If a person is not properly educated and just believes in something, right, then he may be out of touch with reality. He may go on the opposite side of truth. He may not be on the line that will uplift his soul. Surah Al-Waqi'ah has a lot of meanings in the ayat, perhaps This could be one reason why reading this surah a lot removes ghaflat from a person. So being oblivious, neglectful. Of course, a person becomes mindful when he's awakened, right? And this Surah Al-Waqi'ah awakens a person. How? Because of its content, because of its verses, its meanings, right? There are blessings in just holding the Qur'an, even if you don't understand it. There are blessings of reading a surah, even if you don't understand it. But ghaflat is removed when you understand and read the surah as a zikr, as a way of receiving message and admonition from Allah, to awaken, to shake up oneself. That is when a person becomes alert and mindful and awake. This surah in the beginning talks about Qiyamah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Idha Waqa'atil Waqi'ah. Waqa'ah means to happen. Waqi'ah is a happening. When the happening happens, Idha Waqa'atil Waqi'ah. So, a happening, it doesn't say what happening. It doesn't say what happening will happen. But obviously, because it is so obvious to the reader that the most obvious thing is the life after death, the end of this world, when the event of Qiyamah, the event where this world will come to an end. لَيْسَ لِوَقْعَتِهَا كَاذِبَةً. There's no denying this. There's no lie in the truth of Qiyamah. Qiyamah is such a fact, there cannot be any lie in it. Right? There are people who create doubts in everything. Especially in the West, you have a lot of writers who just collect different viewpoints about any subject. And you say, look at, and to try to ridicule the conflicting ideas about any subject to confuse the people and readers. For example, they say about God, there are 2 million, 20 million different ideas. About life after death, there are millions of ideas. And they try to confuse people. Right? That doesn't mean that something is wrong. That just means there's a yearning for it. There is a desire, there's a knowledge, there's a that general acceptance that something is there. Obviously, people by themselves cannot figure out these things. It must be from a right source. Then it will be right authenticated. Otherwise, people's desire for something doesn't mean they know exactly what that is. They may desire something. For example, people desire justice. But the specific situations, how justice is done with parents, how justice is done with family, how justice is done through government, judiciary, in distribution of inheritance, we don't know. Unless we learn from some source of Sharia, right? Laws of Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, we will not know. How, for example, justice is done to a person who is left behind some money, how is it to be distributed, we don't know. The same way people know about Qiyamah. But what is Qiyamah? How it will happen? Where it will happen? What will take place in it? No one can say. Unless you turn towards the Holy Quran and the detailed literature that is narrated to us from our Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we will not know this. It's not something we can figure out ourselves, make up ourselves. It talks about how there will be a shaking of the earth, right? And the mountains will clash with each other and powder. And this powder will spread all over. And this powder will be so fine that, you know, haba'an munbatha. Fakanat haba'an munbatha. Haba'an is like dharrat, you know. If there's a beam of light, beam of sunlight, coming through the window, if you look inside the beam of light, you see very minute, very small, tiny particles suspended in the air, right? They are like dharratun, dharra, or haba'an. These are, mountains will turn into very fine powder like that, which will be scattered all over. Then this is where we want to discuss a little bit more. Let's say when this happens, people will all be categorized in three groups. Today, what is the population of Earth? It's like 7 billion, I guess. So all human beings will be put in three classes, three groups. وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. You will be in three azwaj. Azwaj means asnaf. Zawj means sinf. Three groups. People will be classified in three groups, all the people. فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. So the people of Maymana. Maymana is human, meaning salvation. People of the virtuous people, right? فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. What are the people of Maymana and Yuman and salvation? Who are those people? What are those people? Wa ashabul mash'amati. Ma ashabul mash'ama. And the people of the shiqawat. This is sa'adat, right? Virtue and salvation. And the opposite, people of shiqawat. Wretched ones, the people who are in doom. People who are going, who have corrupted themselves. When Allah says, Ma ashabul mash'ama, Allah knows. He's asking you, do you know what that is? There are many places in Quran. Quran speaks to us like this. Inna andallahu fi laylatil qadr, wa ma adraka wa laylatul qadr. What would you know what laylatul qadr is? So the third class is وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. The third ones are the سابقون, the forerunners, the ones lead, right? The ones who have sabqat, who are ahead of all others. All others. Ahead in what? Ahead in goodness, ahead in prayers, ahead in being righteous, against being just, right? Ahead in obedience, loyalty and faith, and faithfulness to Allah, faithfulness to the Prophet, right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was-sabiqoon. Was-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. Those who are the sabiqoon are the sabiqoon. And that sabiqoon is la maghfiratin wa rahmatin. That means those who were sabiqoon in this dunya are sabiqoon in akhirat. They will be going towards maghfirat, forgiveness and mercy that they receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ula'ika al-muqarrabun. Those are the ones who have been brought close. Muqarrab. Muqarrab means a person who has been brought very close. Those who have been brought very close, who have come very close. They have achieved the rank which is not determined by the reward. They were rank which is by proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by the reward, material reward that they receive, either in this dunya or next life. Of course, it mentions, you know, muqarrabin have this place in paradise, and it lists out all those things. But those are for us so that we can visualize. Quran presents the, you know, illustrates, it describes what paradise will be like, or describes what hell will be like, because we are used to images, used to imagining things. It helps us believe something better if we can imagine it. If we can visualize it, we absorb it better. But if it's just an argument presented, a lot of people don't grasp it. So these three classes of people. Then, regarding the muqarrabin, the sabiqoon, the Holy Quran says, "Thullatum min al-awwalin wa qalilum min al-akhirin." Muqarrabin and sabiqoon were thullatum min al-awwalin. They were in great numbers in the earlier nations, right? Obviously, we believe there were 124,000 prophets. So if And many of them had faithful companions. So prophets you count, and some of them were, some of their companions were of such a level, right? Like the holy prophet, right? And Imam Ali alayhi salam, they had some of the really close companions. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. The holy prophet had Salman, for example, Abu Dharr, right? Miqdad. Mawlana Ali alayhi salam also had Rushayd al-Hijri, and there were others who were following the walayat of Allah and walayat of Holy Prophet. In here, their complete submission. Complete submission. So by their submission to the wali, they became a mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like in previous nations, the prophets were in complete submission, and those among the companions, very few, but if you add them up, they become a big number all over history. ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. But the muqarrabin were وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. There were few in the later. And akhirin, generally Quran refers to akhirin as the nation of the Holy Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the nation of Holy Prophet, there were very few muqarrabin. Very few. Among the, obviously, first and foremost of all the muqarrabin in the ummah of Holy Prophet is his wasi and janashin and successor, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma sallam. Regarding Ashabul Yameen, later on the surah says, ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. Ashabul Yameen are in greater numbers, even in the later nation. They are in good numbers. Obviously, in the ahadith, of Imam Athar alayhi salatu wassalam, please recite the salawat. It is said that the Ashabul Yameen are Ashab of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. Because Yameen is the Imam. And that's why among the small things that our, you know, this velayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam involved is, for example, we wear rings on our right hand, Yameen, you know. So Ashabul Yameen in the ta'assi and the obedience to Imam Ali alayhi salam, they wear their rings on the right hand, right? And there are many teachings like that. Or their books will be given on the right hand on the Day of Judgment. And there are many things, etiquettes of the people of the right that Quran mentions. The Sabiqoon were very few in history. I will read one riwayat about Sabiqoon that from Abi Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, in Majma'ul Bayan, he said that Sabiqoon were four people. First was the son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He was killed by his brother. Who was he? Habil, right? Habil was killed by Qabil. And there are people who say different things about why Qabil say about killed Habil. And a person asked our sixth imam, why the people say, for example, Habil and Qabil, the dispute was regarding marrying a woman. And Imam strongly rejected this notion. He said, well, first of all, historically, Qabil was much older in age, and he married much, much before Habil. But the issue why Qabil killed Habil was that Prophet Adam alayhi salam received message from Allah saying that teach the Ism-e-Azam and the Amanat and Mawarith of Nubuwwat and whatever people need for their guidance to your son Habil and appoint him as your successor. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he informed Qabil about this decision, he got furious. He said, why didn't you make me your successor? Why did you make Habil your successor? And Adam alayhi salam said, it is not my decision. I have been told. I have been commanded. At that point, he continued to argue. So Prophet Adam alayhi salam said, offer your qurbani to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever is accepted, that will be my successor. So as history recounts that Habil, who was a shepherd, he found one of the best goat or sheep he could find, he brought it to sacrifice. And Qabil, he was a farmer, he had a lot of this crops, throw away thing, you know, bad quality, he brought it, so give us a... obviously, when the time came for the sacrifice of Habil was accepted by Allah because of his niyat, right? And that made him so furious, he threatened to kill his brother right there. Quran talks about it, and hadith, there's a lot of material. Sabiqeen, the first one was this. So the dispute was over wilayat and succession. Always has been like that. Those who in the community who disputed about the wilayat of the Holy Prophet. Who is the successor of Holy Prophet, for example? They disputed with Imam Ali the same way. They said, no, we will have shura and we will elect somebody. And the Prophet had clearly said, in the crowd of 130,000 people in Ghadir, and all his life from Dawat Azul Ashira down till the end of his life. But those who did not want to accept, they wanted to have their opinion enforced and did not want to give this right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would appoint the successor. This was the main cause of dispute. The second sabiqun, among the sabiqun, in the ummah of Prophet Musa alayhi salam is the Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, believer who was concealing his faith. The third one is among the nation of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, a person who accepted the call of Prophet Isa when he sent two messengers to a village, and a carpenter came out to ask who they were, and they said, so he asked him, what sign do you have that you are bringing me this faith from God? And as Prophet, they said, we can cure the lepers, right? We can give cure to the sick. And his son was sick. And the two, as Surah Yasin talks about, these two were able, they were again among the awsiya of Prophet Isa, they gave shifa to this sick son, his son. And Habib, he accepted. All his people turned against him and killed him. But he did not give up his faith. The last of all the sabiqeen is in the ummah of Islam, which is Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad Imam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of Yameen, Ashabul Yameen. We ask Allah to grant us this tawfiq to know our Imam, to be in the following and in the obedience and loyalty of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wal Asri innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawassaw bil haqqi wa tawassaw bis sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم سبحان من سبقت رحمته غضبه وبسط اليدين بالرحمة اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبيا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله اللهم صل على وعلى إمام المسلمين وقائد الغر المحجلين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وآله السلام وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين وبذعة خاتم النبيين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء وعلي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر
وعلي ابن موسى ومحمد ابن علي وعلي ابن محمد والحسن ابن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا صاحب الزمان ماحي آثار البدع والطغيان هادم بنية الشرك والنفاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام. اللهم عجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه. أما بعد فقد فأوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. We pray for forgiveness of all who have passed away and our own forgiveness and guidance. May Allah shower His grace upon the Muslim world, upon the mu'mineen, upon the defenders of our shrines in Iraq, upon those who serve Islam through their pen and those with their lives and their speech. And may Allah prolong life of our leader and maraji. The spread of terrorism in many countries in the Middle East, and now it has Pakistan has become a center for that, where the focus of all these terrorists seem to be to destroy the infrastructure and bring down the state as a state. And all the different manifestations of terrorism with different names, they are generally been supported by the Western world. On one side, we all see all this talk about war on terror and all of that. But we see the traffic of terrorists going from all these countries and the support they have been given and the support of the allies of United States who are providing support to these terrorists, right? You add them all up and you see a great contradiction, a historic contradiction. Like in many other places, this is yet another huge contradiction between what they say and what they do. Obviously, it is serving the terrorists are by targeting the unity of Muslims, by targeting holy places and calling one another infidels and issuing fatwa of takfir and he is kafir or she is kafir and killing a person who doesn't pray the way you do or does not describe his faith exactly the same ways and words that you do. Or for example, targeting the great scholars, right, who've served their life following the Sunnah and the teachings of Islam and Quran, and they are shot just because they don't give their allegiance to a terrorist warlord, for example, in Iraq or Syria. It is a continuation of the tyrannical regimes in those countries that those regimes have fallen, for example, in Iraq. You see, all these agents of the same brutal Saddam regime have joined hands with the terrorists now. And you see the same thing happening in places like Pakistan, where they're receiving ample support from different intelligences, different places, different Arab regimes who support these terrorist groups. They keep their own land safe, but they send over these terrorists and this money, right, cash, to fund these operations. The horrendous killing of children in Peshawar, Pakistan, the explosion that the attack on the school that took place and targeted and killed so many students, right? Well, it shook the people. And at the same time, it was a test for all these politicians and these religious groups in Pakistan. You see them finding different narratives, different explanations, different responses to attack on a school. And some to the point that, for example, these are like a revenge for the other people who have been killed. And still these mullahs and these factories of takfiri fatawa, they move around freely and they speak on the media and they lead their Friday salats and admonish their people for piety, and all of this is going on at the same time while they are issuing fatwa of takfir for other Muslims and supporting these terrorist groups. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the name of Ahlul Bayt to rid our Muslim land with such terrorists who defile Islam and who corrupt the faith of their young children and misguide them. This is a beautiful month of the birth of Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the 12th of Rabiul Awal till the 17th of Rabiul Awal is the week of unity. It's the week that was announced by Imam Khomeini, alallahu maqamahu, as the week where all Muslims will celebrate the birth of the Holy Prophet together. Islam is the most tolerant of all religions, and the best example, best evidence of that is the personality and the attitude and the lifestyle of our Prophet. He forged relations, built relations with Christians, relations with Jews, relations with non-Muslims to guide them, to bring security and peace to the society and justice, to stop them from burying their daughters in the ground, stop them from, you know, doing those bad things and killings and everything. He was the one, the main instrument of peace in a society, right? And he was the one whose covenants that he made with other religions are still preserved in books and in many places in the world which are not even Muslim. They have the covenants of Holy Prophet in their libraries. They keep them. They know that the Holy Prophet made agreements with other faiths in his time. He sent envoys with a message of Islam to all the people. Not a threat, a call to Islam, a divine call to the people to think, right? And study and open their eyes, right? The Prophet was not a person who would condemn anyone, sentence anyone to death just because of his different faith. But these people who use the name of Prophet and present a very distorted form of message of Holy Prophet, which has no relation to the life of Holy Prophet. And Islam, because of its tolerance and acceptance and love for humanity, is the fastest growing religion on earth. And all these cowardly acts are just a response to the growth of Islam, the power and growth of Islam, the appeal of Islam to the humanity. How people turn towards Islam when they feel such a void in their lives, they see, where do we go? And they find Islam as the most meaningful thing that they can hold to. It's also the time of the birth of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Who was the Imam that Allah gave him the great opportunity and success in consolidating the legal framework of Islam and narrating the maximum hadith from our Holy Prophet. That the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and his father formed the major portion of the ahadith in the Muslim tradition. That if you look at books like Biharul Anwar, you'll find 100,000 hadiths about any subject you can think of. It's an encyclopedia. And obviously, for a person to call himself a Muslim, must check the hadith. Quran alone is not enough. Explanation of Quran comes in volumes. An explanation of that comes after, understanding of that comes after studying a lot of material. So for a person to represent himself as a, for example, a spokesman for Islam, must be a jurist of the highest caliber who has studied these ahadith. And it's all an inayat and lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Muslim nation that we have the greatest personalities like Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salam. Who is the Ra'is al-Madhab? Ra'is. He's the chief of this, you know, the true Islam, the faith of Ja'fari Islam, who has taught exactly, and Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi'i were all his students. Imam Malik was a student. Humble students. They came, traveled to Medina to be a pupil, a student, and a devotee of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam for a few years. Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa said, "Lawla sanatan la halaka Nu'man." He said, if it was not for 2 years that I was with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, I would have been doomed, right? And we ask Allah for the shifaat of Imam, for our guidance and our awakening and understanding of Islam. One last reminder is about the general body meeting coming up soon. So encourage everyone to, inshallah, participate in that. May Allah make the zuhur of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam close. And make us among his followers and companions. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iza ja'a nasrullahi wal-fath wa ra'ayta an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wa astaghfirhu innahu kana tawwaba. Allah jalla jalla ya maula Allah jalla jalla